From Country Life Magazine, I got some Black Friday jokes. Yeah, why do shoppers feel like cranberry sauce on Black Friday? They get bruised, battered, and squished in a pulp trying to get to the bargain bin. Yeah, terrible joke, isn't it? What do Black Friday shoppers and the Thanksgiving turkey have in common? They know what it's like to be stuffed and jammed into a small space. This may be a terrible idea, audience. How can you tell which of your friends got a good Black Friday deal? Don't worry, they'll let you know. Which family usually spends the most on Black Friday? The one that learns the least. What? Why do Americans go shopping on Black Friday? They are thankful they survived the Thanksgiving dinner. It's time to punt here one more. Why do they call the day after Thanksgiving Black Friday? Because it matches the mood of all the miserable shoppers. Oh my goodness, those are so bad. I apologize. I shouldn't have wasted your time at all. Pee Wee Herman is on the radio today. He'll be on Santa Monica College News Talk and NPR affiliate KCRW 89.9. It's a one-time show for now anyway on KCRW, 6 p.m. Pacific time. In a press release, Pee Wee Herman said, "Dear most esteemed journalists, it's Pee Wee Herman here, and I'm going to be a DJ on a new radio show airing on KCRW. They're going to get me some donuts and leave me the keys of the studio while they're on vacation, so you better get out your transistor radio and listen to my amazing voice." The gig came as a result of a Twitter campaign by Paul Rubens to get a show. I mailed them a letter, which got lost apparently, and then tagged them on Twitter, and then they didn't believe it was me until my biggest, bestest, most amazing fans called and called and jammed up their phone lines. Hee hee, said Pee Wee Herman in the release. The show will feature Pee Wee's Playhouse creators Miss Yvonne, Cherry, and Magic Screen, along with what Herman promises to be super famous surprise guests. Pee Wee Herman's radio show will mark the first time a fictional character has hosted on KCRW. A station spokesperson told the Los Angeles Times. Must have been a slow news day. All right, I have a story. Way back when I was at SiriusXM, we were all set. We were going to do, I forget why, but we were going to do Pee Wee Herman radio for like a weekend or a day or something. We had this whole thing set up. And here was what we were going to do. We couldn't figure out, like, all right, why are we playing Pee Wee Herman bits? And one of my staff members came up with some sort of idea that it was a slot machine. So you'd hear a slot machine and, you know, a slot machine, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And then the slot machine would say whatever. And then that would tell us whatever Pee Wee Herman bit we would play. I forget the particulars, but the whole point was a slot machine. And then Pee Wee Herman decided he didn't want to do it. And here's why. We were told that the slot machine pulling the lever was somehow making fun of an incident in Pee Wee Herman's career in the past involving a movie theater. Remember that one? I'm not trying to bring it up, but it's a Pee Wee Herman story. Remember he was in a theater and, you know, maybe he was pulling the lever? We never made that connection. We definitely meant no harm. But Pee Wee basically told us to buzz off and the idea never happened. So somewhere in a computer, somewhere at SiriusXM is all this stuff, unless somebody deleted it. But didn't happen because he thought we were being jerks. It's not how I roll. The Hollywood Reporter talked to some comedians and some funny people, and the setup was, it's perfectly fine to make jokes about, Tiffany Haddish said, yourself and your mistakes, okay? Awkwafina said, yourself and squirrels. Judd Apatow said, comedians who criticize others but can't handle criticism. Bowen Yang, pooping and peeing. They might be the only shared experiences we have left as humans or most mammals even. Bill Burr says anything you want. Hasan Minhaj, paper straws. Let's have the conversation. They're not as effective as plastic straws and they constantly collapse mid-sip. It's time they get put in their place. Chuck Lorre, he's the guy with all those CBS sitcoms. He said IKEA, assuming they're not the kind that are hurtful towards Scandinavian culture or furniture. Nick Kroll says funny things. And Michael Schur said, I prefer that everyone say exactly what they feel. It makes it easier to spot the a-holes. From Market Watch, your home for comedy news, investment tips from, of course, Kevin Hart. Who else would you get investment tips from? He told Market Watch that his dream holiday gift this year was being left alone. On investing, he said, your money should never have days off. Hart is a big proponent of investing for building wealth. He says it means your money is making more money for you. It's working. It's on a treadmill that never stops. Your money should never have days off. You can put your money to work for you and create value that is always an amazing thing. Invest if you can, because you never know what's going to happen. Is that really a tip? Invest? Hey, what's your investment tip? You should invest? I guess. So what is he investing in? He's got his money in a variety of different businesses as well as real estate. At a symposium last year, Kevin Hart said, I love real estate. Regardless of what's going on in the world, people are always going to need places to do business and places to live. The more you get, the more you can do. His spending tip, buy within your reach. The biggest tip I can give is to buy within your reach and gift responsibly. Overextending yourself around the holidays can be tragic. Putting smiles on your loved ones' faces is a good feeling, and it's a good effort, but you have to think about yourself and your life after the holidays. Leave a pot for the unknown is his last tip. If there's anything left over, leave a pot for the unknown. If we learned anything from the pandemic, I think preparation for the unknown and what could be is a priority for us all. Putting money to the side is a beautiful thing. On that note, he says investing is important because it means your money is not sitting still. Yeah, we know this already. It's working. It's on a treadmill that never stops. We read that already. Gary Goldman from Yahoo. He's on TikTok. He says, I have an account, but I don't go there very often. The only reason I've got on there is because I have nieces who are very young and they'll show me dances and things like that. Maybe, you know, somebody pantomiming Donald Trump. I'm sure Gary Goldman's seen that. And then somebody once showed me a person doing my jokes and I thought that was really cool. So that was really self-serving, but I don't actually put anything on TikTok. I've seen some people do like karaoke, but with jokes of mine. Hey, Gary Goldman, what's a music that you have really loved and cherished over the span of your life? What a weird phrasing on that question. But Gary Goldman said, oh man, I love this question because I love music and it's been so important to me. I love everything from Carole King to Kendrick Lamar. I've always sort of had a baseline of Springsteen, Billy Joel, and Bob Marley. And late in my life, in my 30s, I really got into Bob Dylan. Music brings me inspiration, solace, insights, and I feel like in many cases, especially with Springsteen, Bob Marley, Dylan, and Billy Joel, it's formed my philosophy. I really got into watching documentaries based on anyone making an album. There was a Bruce Springsteen one that I found so inspiring and interesting and really influenced how I go about writing jokes. I noticed he would go over every single note from every single instrument, and I thought how easy it is for a comedian to just go over every word. That's all I have to do. I don't have to put an arrangement or take down notes. I just have to make sure that I'm choosing the right word in each sentence. So that was a tremendous lesson I learned from watching that Bruce Springsteen documentary. From the St. Pete Catalyst, they caught up with Kathleen Madigan. Kathleen, do you store up on material? Do you have a garage full of great stories to tell that you couldn't do yet? Kathleen said, I don't, because I only usually write when I'm working. If I'm not working, my brain's just somewhere else, but it's good for your brain to be off for a while. My comedian friends that are closest to me, like Lewis Black or Ron White, if we're not working, we're not writing. Things occur to me and I might write them down, but when I'm off, my ability to slide into retirement is way too easy. It's way too clean of a smooth transition. She's enjoying her podcast. It's not overly political. It's not angry. It's not blue or rude. It's just funny. It's like the stuff I would talk to my brother about on the phone, but my brother has a job. All my siblings have jobs or kids, and they don't want to listen to my crap. Like when I find out what I think is a crazy story, hey man, here's a bunch of zebras loose in Maryland. If somebody listens, they'll listen. Gilbert Gottfried spoke to WTOP. Hey, Gilbert Gottfried, what can people expect when they come to see you? Gilbert said, they turn to each other and they go, whose idea was it to see Gilbert Gottfried? It's been very weird, especially the first few times back on stage. I found myself on stage going, this is what I do for a living? Now I'm getting back to normal, but boy, the first couple of times I'd be on stage thinking, I know I have more material than this. It's very odd because I found out the kind of life I lead, the pandemic didn't make it that much different. I would sit on the couch and watch TV, which I'd normally do anyway. I wasn't going to any Hollywood parties that I was missing. About getting into comedy, he said, I had heard comedy albums, but I never owned one. That was always something depressing about comedy albums. Growing up, there were still the old guys around, like Jack Benny, George Burns, Groucho, Jerry Lewis. So those I would watch, and then the new comics coming along. So I got a little of everything. I'd start watching actors in movies and doing imitations of them, and I decided I wanted to be in show business. My sister's friend told her there's a club in Manhattan where you write your name in the book and you wait and they call your name. I traveled up from Brooklyn to Manhattan, went up on stage and did mainly imitations. They were having auditions for Saturday Night Live and saw me at Catch a Rising Star. Everybody else was talking about how they were so scared and nervous and anxious. I really didn't care for some reason. When I got the show, I was thrilled that I got the show, and when they fired me, I wasn't upset they fired me. It was the worst time to be on SNL because the producer and original cast had left. It was like if in the middle of Beatlemania they said, we're having four new guys. People were attacking the show before it even aired. Like this was sacrilege without the original cast. You don't want to be the replacement. After that, he honed a shtick with an intentionally obnoxious delivery. Yeah, if you've ever met Gilbert in real life, he's very soft-spoken. He's not, you know, the blah, blah, blah. He's not that at all. He's a soft-spoken man in real life. And he said, it just kind of happened. I'd go on stage more and more. After a while, you find yourself and that's your delivery. For me, it's kind of like going up to somebody walking down the street and saying, hey, the way you move your arms when you're walking, where'd that come from? It's just your regular day-to-day personality. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Good Pods. Tomorrow I'm going to do something about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. See you back here tomorrow.